you for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence, Lord. I never grow tired of saying that, Lord, because it is a privilege and that we can come to you. And Lord, to know that you hear our prayers and that you, through Christ and his sacrifice, Lord, that we can come to the throne of God with boldness. And so, Lord, I just pray now that you give me the words that you want me to say, Lord, and that you would help me to say what needs to be said. And but most of all, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that we would see you. I pray for that, Lord. I pray that we would know who you are, that you would draw us closer to you, and that you would strengthen us in our walk, and that we would trust you and taste and see that you are good, Lord. And I pray for these things, Lord, because these are the things that will carry us as Christians. And if there's anybody here who doesn't know who Christ is this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would open up their hearts and their minds and that they would see Christ for who he is and that he would be saved today, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Psalm 34. I read out of it at the beginning. That's where we'll be at this morning. And I just want to say good morning. And it's good to be back. And it's good to be back to Rockland. We've had an eventful month for our family. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who prayed and supported us through the passing of my father and just us being on vacation for the last month. And it just means a great deal to my family and especially for me that you were so supportive during this time. And we're just returning from our vacation. If you don't know, we did a road trip virtually around the country. We traveled 6,404 miles, and we went through 18 different states. It was a lot of fun. We got to experience some great scenery. We ate some great food. But most of all, we were able to spend time with family and friends. And we got to spend a lot of time with each other in a van. The five of us. And I think I enjoyed that the most. Because we had some great conversations. And Sharon and me up front, Sharon the driving. She did most of the driving. I helped out occasionally. But she can go amazing distances on just a little box of Nerds, if you know what that is, and some soda. Yeah, she's pretty amazing. But while I was traveling, we also visited churches. And I heard a pastor speak on this passage, Psalms 34:8. And it stuck with me the rest of the trip. And you know, I don't know if you're, as a preacher in me, I listen to someone do a sermon and I say, oh, you missed it. I've got to go home and share what you missed. So I got to share what I see in the scriptures here in Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. I love this verse, and especially this psalm, because this is a psalm of thanksgiving. And it is connected to the joy of being cared for by the Lord. It is written by someone who experienced the Lord, and his name is David. And you would know him by King David. Our Lord is a living God. And he is an active God. And that's the thought I want you to take from that. He's not some cosmic clockmaker who just made this big world and wound it up and he lets it go. That's not who God is. He's not standing off in the distance somewhere far away and has nothing to do with what's going on earth. He is much, much more than that. He is up close and personal. He is over everything and nothing happens without his knowledge. God is never surprised. And yet he is as close to you as your next breath. For all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. When we start thinking about these thoughts, it's very hard for us to wrap our brains around and to understand how God can be so big and yet so personal. And I think the psalmist in 139 summed it up the best. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. Lord, you have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. And I am unable to reach it. When I start thinking about the ways of God along these lines, it is impossible for me not to praise him. When I think about how close and how active he's in my life, and I think about the thoughts of him, and they are just out of reach, and I can't help but my hands are up to praise him for who he is. It's impossible for me not to be thankful. Impossible for me not to be joyful. God, the creator of the universe and everything in it, thinks about me at all is too lofty. Yet he did so much more than just think about us. He did something. We were separated from him, and he took the initiative. He became the light of the human race, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. In coming to earth, Jesus became the source of our hope, the source of our joy. Jesus chose us, loved us, bought us, cleansed us, clothed us, kept us, and will glorify us. We are here entirely because of Jesus Christ and by his grace, whether you believe in him or not. Taste and see, the psalmist says. Taste and see. The psalmist has given us an invitation. Come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it, but come. Come, taste and see for yourself. Come and know me, God is saying. Come and know who I am. He wants a relationship with us. He seeks us. I love the imagery here of tasting and seeing. Have you ever tasted something so good that it was impossible for you not to share? I'm a carnivore. I'm going to tell you now. You can look at me and see that. And we were at this Big Texan in the panhandle of Texas, and we ate at the Big Texan carnivore paradise. And Sharon had her prime rib steak there, and everybody at the table had to try it because it was so good. Sharon was like, everybody has to try it. But isn't that with God in our lives that we taste and see and we experience in God, and we want others to experience what we're experiencing. We want them to taste what we have experienced and what we know. You taste it and you have to share it with those around you. This is what the psalmist is saying to us. God is too good not to be shared, too good to hide him from those who are closest to us. It's an invitation I am giving you this morning. Maybe you've never heard of Christ, or you're not sure what it means to be in Christ. I'm inviting you to come taste and see Christ. Come experience yourself the goodness of the Lord. Know that Jesus is God, that he came to earth. He's fully human and fully God. He lived a life you and I could never live, the perfect life, a sinless life. Out of love, he took that perfect life and he sacrificed it for you and I. He did this because you are separated from God because of sin. God is perfectly sinless, perfectly holy, perfect justice, perfect righteousness, and perfect love. To even know God, to come into his presence, you must be perfect. The problem is, you and I are not perfect. We have all sinned, the Bible tells us. We have all fallen short of God's perfection. We have all fallen short of his glory. There is no other way to earn perfection. There's no way that we can climb the ladder and climb our way into heaven. No one can stand before God and say they earned their way into his presence. It's impossible. So it puts us in a very tough position. Jesus lived the perfect life, and he was killed for it. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. By dying, he became the sacrifice for our sin and an atonement for what we have done. And by doing so, he removed sin and defeated death. And by putting our faith in what Jesus did, we do not put our faith in what we do, but in what Jesus did. And by faith and by grace, we are saved. When we trust in Jesus, he clothes us in his perfection, and thus we can approach God with confidence because we are covered by his son's perfection, his righteousness. This is all done by the grace of God, all of it. God is saying, come to me, trust me. Put your faith in me. Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This message is the gospel, is the message we need to share with those who don't know Christ. But it is also the message that all of us need to hear. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 30 minutes or for 30 years, you need to hear the gospel preached to yourself or from somebody else every day. Every day you should remind yourself of what Christ did in your life and what he's continually doing in your life to acknowledge the gospel. When we do that, when we think about the gospel, the first thing that should happen is that we should give thanks. We should give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for not just saving me, but being a part of my life. Thank you for listening to my prayers. Thank you for working in and around me. Thank you, Lord. The life of the Christian is a life of thankfulness. We should be thankful. When was the last time that you said, thank you, Lord? Not just for the parking place that you got up in front of your favorite store, but that you had a heartfelt thank you for something that God has done in your life. Pause every day and give thanks. Think about the fact that there is nothing you own, nothing you do, not one relationship that you have. Nothing happens apart from Christ and his grace. Give thanks. Live thankfully. Giving thanks drives us to humility. Drives us to humility. If you look on the back of your bulletins, you can follow kind of a loose outline. It's been a month, so I kind of forgot about that. The life of the Christian is a life of thankfulness and one of humility. We humble ourselves before a holy God who loved us and died for us. We humble ourselves before God because His infinite grace towards us. Grace is not getting what we deserve, but having our debt paid in full by Christ, simply out of love, so that God may be glorified in all things. When I think about my sinfulness and God's grace towards me, it humbles me to my core. Who am I to look down on anyone? Who am I to puff up? Who am I? I am better than someone else. It is by God's grace that I stand here. When I think that there is nothing I can do for my salvation, nothing to secure my salvation, it is all by the grace of God. It is by His strength, by His power, through the Holy Spirit, that I live a life worthy of His name. By the work that He has accomplished in me, I am who I am. And it is because of Christ. Thankfulness and humbleness result in something else in your life. It's life-changing when you start thinking along those lines. And the result of that is peace and joy. And thus, it empowers me to keep going forward, giving my life purpose and meaning. In Christ, I am free, free to be what God wants me to be, free from trying to prove to God or to anyone else who I am in Christ. I am free to love God with my whole heart, free to obey His commands, free to live a life worthy of His name, free to love others, free to forgive, free to extend grace to those who don't deserve it, free to be like Christ. Not because I earn something that somehow makes me worthy, but out of love for Christ and because of His infinite grace that He's extended to me. Let's look at the second half of this verse in light of this thought. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him? Did you hear that? Did everybody hear what I said? Let me say it again, in case you missed it. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him? This is something I think we lose sight of as Christians. Being happy. How many are you really happy about being a Christian? We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. The Christian life is a life of joy and rejoicing. One of the things I notice in my life is how quickly I am robbed of my joy. How many of you experience joy and it seems like there's something right there that wants to take it away from you? Sometimes it's the simplest things that can rob me. So I have to constantly work at keeping my eye on the prize. The way that I do this is I keep myself grounded in the Word of God and I keep myself in prayer. And what are some examples? I know some of you are probably thinking, well, how can that work? How does that work in your life? Show me, Pastor Steve. And so I want to encourage you by the Word. Let's look at Psalm 34. So if you have your Bibles open, let's just look and let's start in verses 1 through 3. And it says this out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and will be glad. Proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name together. What is the psalmist doing there? He is giving thanks and he's humbling himself before the Lord, isn't he? Just what we talked about earlier. So how can I use this to encourage? I can pray this back to God. When I read psalms like this, I pray them back. I read it and I go, I praise you, Lord. I praise you always. Let praise be on my lips always. I will boast in the Lord. Let me boast in you, Lord. Lord, keep me humble. Let me hear from you, Lord. You are great. Lord, let us exalt who you are. You can pray that, just like that. I love praying through the Psalms. If you've never prayed through the Psalms, I encourage you to open up the Psalms and start praying through them. What happens when we do this? When we pray these Psalms, when we humble ourselves and we give thanks, what happens? Verse 4, it says this, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Do you see that in the text? When we give thanks and we humble ourselves and we pray, there are two things we have to realize that's happening. We have a God who's listening to us, that he's actively listening to us, and we have a God who answers prayer. One of the sources of joy in the Christian life is answered prayer. How many of you have had prayers answered in your life lately? That's good. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you ask, whatever you want will be done for you. Later in the same chapter, and it comes out of John 15, same chapter, he says, I have spoken these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The source of our joy is Christ in us. And one of the signs that he is actively working in our lives is answered prayer. That's how we can know that God is working in our lives. When we start to pray for things to happen, and they start to happen around us, we know that Christ is working in our lives. And we should have joy in that. He answers us, and he delivers us. The psalmist reminds us that God answers our prayer, and he delivers us from what, does this scripture say? Our fears. Our fears. What are you afraid of this morning? We all have fears. Listen, we live in a nation full of fears right now. We do. There's financial fears. There's terrorist fears. There's government spying on us fears. Fears for our children. Fears from germs. I think about bacterial wipes now. When I was growing up, a bacterial wipe was my mom spitting in a tissue and wiping my face. We have a phobia about germs. Fear, fear, fear. It's all around us all the time. But aren't we also afraid of failure? We're afraid that we might fail. Not risking for something that God has called us to do because we fear failure. I want to encourage you not to settle and allow fear from stopping you serving God. I was called to preach back in the 90s, 93, and then it was confirmed again in 96. You know, I didn't answer the call to preach until 2001 because I was afraid. And I didn't start preaching actively until 2004. And I've been here now 7 years. But it was by God's grace. And I was afraid for so many years to answer the call. Don't let fear stop you. We can trust God. If he calls us, he will equip us to do the task. He has called us to do something. He will make sure it happens. You have to trust him through it. He will do it in such a way that you will not be able to claim glory for yourself. I am a preacher. I am a pastor. Not by my own doing. It wasn't something that Steve wanted to do. It was something that Steve ran from for years out of fear. But he called me and he has equipped me. And he continues to equip me. And who can I give glory to? I can only give glory to God. Because it is only by God's grace that I stand before you and I open up his word. Something I am not worthy to do. And yet he allows it. I could not do this on my own, but it is by God's grace that it happens. We all have fears, but we can rejoice in Christ because he delivers us from our fears. In Christ, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors, the scripture tells us. He delivers us from our enemies, from our sin, and from ourselves. And though we suffer in this life, it is not going to be forever. We can trust Christ because he has overcome the world. Do you see how quickly, by doing this, by reading the scriptures, by thinking about these things, how quickly our joy can be restored in Christ by simply reading a few verses and praying them? And lastly, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He answers our prayers. He delivers us, and we can find security in Christ. He is our refuge, our mighty tower, our fortress. We were driving across the country and we went through the state of Oklahoma, which I've only briefly stayed there at Tinker Air Force Base and left quickly. But I drove through the whole state this time. And I could see how the tornadoes do so much damage there because it's so flat. And we saw trees that were literally ripped out of the grounds, and we saw signs that were along the road that were broken in half from the wind of a tornado. And so I can understand how a community could be decimated by it. You could see the damage. And the terrain is flat. And there is nowhere to hide. I think that's the scariest part. I mean, there's nowhere to hide. Now, if I lived in Oklahoma and a tornado was coming towards me, I would not seek refuge in a car. Would you? Or how about a mobile home? I don't care if you get in the bathtub with a mattress or not. You're in trouble. Right? I'm not even going to trust a wooden house. I want to be underground. I want to be below ground with big doors, and I want to close them, and I want big bolts because I want to close them, and then I'm going to go hide in a back corner somewhere. Until when? Till that storm passes over. Till I don't hear anything else out there. And I might send Joe up first. But I'm going to seek refuge in something that is secure, isn't I? Don't you want to be secure in something that's going to keep you safe? In life, we are going to face storms. Where are you going to seek refuge? Do you seek it in yourself or the government or something else? Or do you seek refuge in God? Where are you going to place your trust when you face the storms of life? In this psalm, God tells us how happy is the man who seeks refuge in the Lord. Why is the man happy? Why is he happy? Because he understands it is in the Lord who can deliver him. He has the power to deliver him, and he will see him through the storm. Understand, he doesn't take the storm away, but he sees you through it. He's a refuge. All my life, God has continually delivered me from the storm, after storm after storm, and he has proven himself to be faithful. When I think back on all the times that he has seen me through, I feel like the man coming out of the bunker and opening it up and breathing the air for the first time, and I am happy to be alive. Though the world around me may be destroyed, I'm alive. and I'm happy. When the storm passes over, I'm still standing. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing, and I'm stronger because of it. And I can tell you the next time the storm comes, I'm going to trust that bunker even more. I'm happy. I did not enjoy going through the storm. None of us would enjoy being in a refuge and hearing the wind and hearing all the things that are being destroyed around you. No one likes being in the storm. Do I want to go through the storm again? There's no way I want to. But I am happy that it's over. I'm happy that it's over. God doesn't stop all the storms in life, but he uses them to build our faith in him. Because remember what I've always said, this life is not about our comfort. It is about our faith. Where are you at in your faith at the end of your life? When you take your last breath, where is your faith in the Lord? That's what he's concerned about. He is our refuge and our rock in the midst of the storm. And he wants you to put his faith, your faith in him. The Lord is good. When I think about all these things, I can declare the Lord is good. God is good, and everything good in my life comes from him. He has blessed me beyond measure, and I know when I look back on my life, and when you look back on your life, you can say the same thing. If you walk with Christ, you can look back and you can see all the things that he has done for you. Give thanks to the Lord. Pause for a moment. Just right now, just pause and give thanks. Humble yourselves before him. Praise him this morning and throughout the rest of this day. When you settle in your bed tonight, give thanks as you prepare to close your eyes to go to sleep. Praise him for the small things in your life that you take for granted. Praise him for getting up in the morning, that you're still breathing, that you're still able to get up and move around, that you got here this morning. There are so many people that would love to be here, but they can't. And you know who they are. Praise him for your salvation, that he loved and he died for you. Praise him that he answers your prayers. And then he delivers you from your fears. And you can take refuge in him in any storm. It doesn't matter how big it is. He's there. Live a life of thankfulness and humbleness. Live a life that brings glory to God. And let your hearts be glad. Praise Christ who is in you, works through you, and walks beside you. Pray that God would be glorified in your life and that you would walk worthy of his name. Rejoice in Christ. Let your hearts be filled with joy. Be glad that the Lord is good. Be happy. That's what I want for you. Be happy. Not because you have stuff or anything around you, but be happy in Christ. Let that joy be the source of all your hope and your peace. Live a life of joy, knowing Christ and seeing others around you. Watch what happens when you start living thankfully and humbly and giving praise and glory to God and living in his joy. Watch what happens to the people around you. They'll want to be around you. No one wants to be around someone who's grumpy all the time. And so many Christians I know struggle with life, and they're the grumpiest people I know. And they shouldn't. It should be a life of joy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy that we have in Christ. Lord, that you do, you take care of us, you provide for us, you deliver us from our sins, you've saved us. Not because of something that we did, but it is by your grace. And it is by your grace that we walk and move and we talk and that we can worship, that we can understand what the Scripture says through the Holy Spirit, we can live a life that is worthy of your name. It is because of you, and we give you praise, and we're thankful, Lord, and we humble ourselves before you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just give us the joy of knowing that we rest in you and you are our refuge. That no matter what storms we face in life, both small and both great, that you are a source of great strength and that you will see us through, Lord. And I thank you for all those times that you have seen us through. And we look forward to the times that you will be there with us, Lord. Until we take our last breath, Lord, help us just live a life worthy of your name and that glorify you. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know who Christ is, that you would move in their hearts now, Lord, and that you would make yourself known to them, and that you would draw them to yourself, and that you would open up their hearts, and they would see Christ, and that you would save them, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and as we sing...